Hey everybody, this episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of Out of the Park Baseball 19 and Franchise Hockey Manager 5. And yes, Out of the Park Baseball 19 Perfect Team is available now in public beta. We have had so much fun with the release of the public beta of Perfect Team. Over 6,500 people have created teams and given Perfect Team a shot. More than 200 leagues, and these are tiered leagues. So you hop in, you put your team in the rookie league, and then you get up to single A, double A, triple A, and then ultimately the majors. It's a whole promotion relegation system. An entire season takes place over the course of a week. You get your card packs, you build your team, and then you let them go. You make your strategies, you build your ballpark. But there's this whole amazing Perfect Team universe that's happening right now. It's in the last week and a half or so of the public beta before it gets out of public beta and goes worldwide live for everybody. But you can play it today. And there's so much activity on our Discord channel, over 500 people in there talking about it. My goodness, Perfect Team has been this amazing smash hit, and we are so excited for you to play it. Go check out Perfect Team. It's available now if you own Out of the Park Baseball 19. If you don't have Out of the Park Baseball 19, you can get it from Steam. You can get it from EA Origin, Origin Access if you're a subscriber, or you can get it right from otpdevelopments.com. Thank you so much. Go check out Perfect Team and enjoy the show. Everybody, thank you as always so much for listening to the Press Row Podcast. This is the 299th episode of the show, and I can think of no better person to spend it with than one of my favorite people in the world, the editor-in-chief of US Gamer, Kat Bailey. Kat, how are you?
The 299th episode, what a magical number.
It's a cool number, right? 299?
Yeah, it's way better than 300.
300 is for suckers. So, Kat, we are here to talk about a whole bunch of sports game-related stuff, which we will, but breaking news. Like, this is a big deal. As we record this on a Thursday night, you know, Sony says that they're out of E3. You are the editor-in-chief of US Gamer, my favorite mainstream video game website, and frankly, my favorite video game website, period, because you're the editor-in-chief, right? And you're my friend, and I love what you do there, and everybody who's listening should go there all the time, and I'm not just saying that. I literally mean it. It's the best coverage. There's no one better positioned to talk about what this means, right? So Sony's out of E3 2019. What the heck?
I don't think it's a permanent thing. This is just speculation. But from what I'm able to gather, they are skipping E3 because they are preparing to take the wraps off the PS5, and they want to give it the maximum amount of push that they possibly can. Alternative, they just don't have anything to show because nothing is ready next year, and Dreams isn't enough to anchor an entire E3 show. So they're just going, it's not worth spending the money. But of course, everybody's going to treat it like an apocalypse and decide that E3 is done.
Is E3 done?
Nah. But I do think that it is becoming gradually less relevant. I mean, like, people will point to EA and being offsite. In fact, I think I did that in a tweet. But at the same time, they're still there. They're still in Los Angeles. They're still doing a press conference right on top of E3. So, like, the event is still relevant in that regard. Nintendo is still there. Microsoft is still there. A lot of third-party developers like Ubisoft and such are there. Activision will be there. So, and of course, all the fans will be there, and all of the press from around the world will be there. It's the biggest gaming event. And the last time we tried to de-emphasize E3, which was like a decade ago or so, it was kind of a disaster because it left a big vacuum in the middle of the calendar, and nothing really filled it. And then they kind of hastily went back to the way it was before. So
is it wrong to suggest that E3 exists now simply because a lot of people in the industry just like to get together and spend that intense, insane 3 days in Los Angeles every June?
I think it's just a showcase event for gaming.
Right.
A moment where the mainstream press sits up and takes notice, and gaming gets to kind of put its best face forward, or its best foot forward, for the entire world. And it's, I mean, there are, like, I'm trying to think of other events that are equivalent in tech. Like, take the biggest event in tech, that's it for gaming, right? I mean, it's the showcase event. And so in that respect, it's good for the industry at large.
I can completely respect and appreciate the notion of, you know what? We are in one of those weird moments in time where we just don't have enough legitimately to crow about. And I totally get that if that's the case. And I think if nothing else, it sounds like it's a wise business decision, right? I mean, Sony is the leader. They have sold the most systems. They have made the most money. They are really well positioned for the next generation, whatever that looks like, right? So this doesn't seem like it's anything other than a sort of a look in the mirror moment. Like, you know what, why would we have to create false hype around things that we know we legitimately can't deliver in 6, 9, 12 months? So ultimately, if that's the case, and it sounds like that is, I'm fine with that. In fact, I appreciate that.
I'm disappointed because Sony always had the best parties at E3. And so I'm kind of really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. Okay. One more thing before we get into the sports video game talk is I'm going to read you something, Kat. And the quote is, "I will always be thankful the Eagles won the Super Bowl last year and the timing looks perfect. There's no way last year's team could have hung with the Saints / Chiefs / Rams this year, and the 2018 Eagles are plain bad, 1 year removed from a championship, and it's time to rebuild." Is that really an inflammatory statement?
Yes.
It is.
I mean, it's a bit of an overreaction, Rich.
I didn't say it wasn't a bit of an overreaction, but I want to defend it. But I don't think it was inflammatory in any way, shape, or form.
I feel inflamed.
I think if I had replaced the word rebuild with retool,
is a very strong word.
It is a strong word. And what was
you're not the Buffalo freaking Bills here.
No. Okay. Nor am I suggesting we are. I'm not suggesting. I guess right. You're right. It's because like I got one response to that angrily from someone saying you're crazy for wanting to trade Wentz. I'm like, where did I say that? Like, to me, rebuild, and I'm looking at the Philadelphia Eagles, and I am and will forever be, you know, the happiest person or a much happier person because of last year, right? That doesn't diminish the fact, like, you know, I'm just looking at what I'm looking at what I'm seeing this year. The team has a lot of problems, and it's going to need next year a new left tackle because Jason Peters, Hall of Famer, is very likely going to retire. They're going to need at least one guard. They potentially might need a right tackle as well, although hopefully Lane Johnson. So you're looking at, you know, 2 to 3 offensive linemen, and they have very little depth behind Fletcher Cox on the defensive tackle. Their defensive secondary is at least statistically ranked among the worst in the NFL. They have multiple significant needs there, and they just lost Darby for the year. They have no value above replacement running backs. Zero. Like Clement and
Jay Ajayi is
Smallwood.
Not,
he's on not the good. IR. He's on the IR.
Yeah, but he'll be back next year.
No, he won't. He's a free agent at the end of the year. They have to completely.
Oh, so the Eagles aren't going to re-sign him?
I don't think so. I mean, and so they have to completely rebuild their running back core. They only have one receiver who is under contract for next year. And their receiving core isn't very good anyway. Golden Tate is a 7-game rental. Like, there is significant problems all over the team. To me, that's like, I'm just looking at what I'm looking at. I'm not saying, you know, they're terrible or they're quitters or anything like that. I'm just looking at the team who is not beating anybody this year. Last year, they crushed people. And I'm just, they have a lot of work to do. And that's all that means. That is, at least, yeah, no, that's all that that means. So I was surprised how angry people
Here's my counterpoint. First of all, the Eagles do a few things really well. I mean, they have the weapons on offense, including a really good receiver in Alshon Jeffrey.
He's great.
And
I love him.
I think a very good QB in Carson Wentz.
I love him too. Love both of those people.
And a ferocious pass rush.
Well,
and
not this year. Not this year. They did last year. This year, there's
you got a hangover. You got a Super Bowl hangover. There's no denying it.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. I just
it means
literally
that they won and they felt really content, and like they lost the fire, I guess, because last year they were playing with this almost kind of crazy amount of like they had something to prove.
They killed people last year. Half of their games, because they won like 13, half of their games or 14, half of the games were over at halftime. They were up by 20 or more, right? Like last year in their wins, a lot of their wins, they were just crushing people. This year, even in their wins, it's come down in the last minute. Now, their losses have all been by 3 to 7 points too, right? They're not a terrible football team, but they're losing, you know, when you're up 17-0 in the fourth quarter at home and you lose that game, I mean, you know, that kind of stuff. And I just think it's because physically they're just not as good as they were. It's the NFL, it's a year-to-year sport, and there's been a tremendous amount of just like physical football regression this year. And again, the secondary is a tire fire. And they're not getting the pass rush, and their running backs are just nowhere close to as good as Jay Ajayi, who even when he did play this year before he went in the IR, you know, was out for a couple of games and was never 100%. It's just, you know, they're not nearly as good as they were last year, but that just shows you how fine the line is in the NFL between great and good and poor. You know what I mean? Like, well, it's just amazing how hard it is to be great in the NFL and how quickly
it
can come and go.
I'm still salty toward the Eagles, admittedly, but I will offer you a ray of hope. And that ray of hope is the NFL can turn on a dime in a hurry. And all it takes is a good draft class and some solid free agent signings. And Carson Wentz getting another year to recover from that ACL injury.
Yes.
Which, by the way, we act like every player is going to be Adrian Peterson and just come back right away from an ACL. Well,
Wentz
that's not the case.
Fine.
And we're seeing that with Deshaun Watson. Well, I mean, but Wentz hasn't been as good as last year.
He hasn't been as good, but he's been fine. He's been good enough to
I'm
have
not saying
a better
he's bad.
Than four
I'm just
or five
saying
record.
That.
No, I know you're not. I mean, I don't want to.
I'm just saying that. Give him another year.
Yeah. Oh, I love Wentz. He's great. He is such a
plus. The NFC East isn't very good.
No, it's right. You're right.
He'll be back next year.
I agree. This is not a throw in the towel, but there's a lot of work to do. But I think
it's funny is like I remember like 4 years ago, you're just like screw this garbage team, screw the Eagles.
Well, that was
I've given up.
That was the Chip Kelly era. There was a lot of unpleasantness. That was an ugly, ugly
you
time.
Were like, Cat, I've lived long enough to know it's never happening.
It's true.
Never happening.
I said those words. I admit that.
And then what happened? It happened.
It happened. And it's going to happen for the Vikings. And this might be the year.
Not.
Yes, it is.
I've lived long enough to know it's not happening, Rich. Never happening.
Fantastic.
Our year. Never going to be our year.
All right, Kat. Let's talk sports video games. I'm having a great time. I'm deep in on two games right now.
Great. Okay.
I want to hear, before I talk about that, I want to hear, you know, it's been, we're well past, you know, we're well past the sports game onslaught. So you've had your chance to check them all out. You've had your chance, and I'm not asking you to sort of name your one of the year. But you've had a chance to see the ones that you've wanted to see and play the games that you've wanted to play. And then, of course, not play the games that you don't want to play in the sports game world. So I'm curious what your, you know, are you even playing sports games right now? Because in past years, like we were in the same online leagues and stuff. This year we're not. I don't know if you're playing it. I'm currently not. Like so where are you just personally? Are you playing something right now in the sports game world? Or, you know, if so, what is it? And if not, what would it take to get you back into that sort of a groove?
Does Red Dead Redemption 2 count as a sports game?
I don't know, because I never thought of JRPGs as sports game equivalents until you very clearly made the case. So I'm willing to listen to your theory on that.
It's no theory. It's not a sports game. Unless you want to count horseback riding, maybe? Poker? No, I am not currently playing any real sports games. I suppose, like, if you want to count Forza Horizon 4 as a sports game, I really enjoyed that one.
100% okay. Count that.
Okay, that's a sports game. I see it as arcade racer, I suppose. I guess I see it as sort of a different category myself, but I suppose you could kind of sort of put it in that sports milieu, as it were. Beyond that, I think the sports game I've played the most this year is probably NBA 2K, which
yes.
is a difficult problem for me for a few reasons. On the one hand, I think it plays really well this year, and I enjoyed my career, and like quite apart from the microtransactions and everything, I just like the day-to-day playing a match, the moments where I get text messages from my buddies, kind of learning more and more about basketball, that kind of thing. I have a tremendous amount of respect for the franchise. I still have issues with this year's version, but I would say that of all the sports games that I played this year, I've been playing a lot of NBA 2K simply because it's something different from your kind of typical sports game. Like, I played so much FIFA and NHL and Madden this year, or in the past years, that I've sort of have been kind of taking a step back and wanting to do something else.
So it's interesting because my two games that I'm playing right now are...
Can I guess?
Go ahead.
Can I guess which ones?
Yes.
One of them is PES.
That is not true.
Really?
Yes. Now, I have played a lot of this year's PES, and I'm not saying that I'm not going to continue playing this year's PES, but it is not the one that I've been playing for the past month.
Okay.
Do you want to take another guess?
No.
Okay.
That was my guess.
All right. So it is NBA 2K19, and it is FIFA. All right. I'm really, really enjoying FIFA, and I'm doing the, you know, old, boring old guy FIFA, which is I'm managing Everton in the Premier League. And I went right from FIFA, right from Pro Evo to FIFA. I played Pro Evo from the day it came out until a month ago, almost every day, played a couple of seasons as Everton in that. And then I was like, you know what? This is great. I love it. But I want that FIFA legit presentation. And I did not play FIFA really at all 2 years ago. I played it some last year. But this year's feels the best that I've played. When I'm playing the game. And I've got a lot of reps in on Pro Evo, right? You know, again, two seasons. What's that, 100 games? Not 100, but like probably 80, you know, with all the other, right? So 80 to 100 games on Pro is what I'm playing on both Pro Evo and FIFA. And while it took me 7 or 8 matches in the Premier League and FA Cup to where I could feel like I would be able to score a goal every match. Like I think like 8 games into the Premier League season, I had scored a total of 4 goals, but I had won 3 games because I won them all like 1-0. And I had also given up the least amount of goals in the Premier League. It was 2 for a while. It's much more since then, because I'm not halfway, but I'm about 40% through the year. But I'm really, really enjoying how FIFA is playing. Now, granted, again, I am playing single player on Pro and learning the way, because it's similar to Pro Evo and it's very different from Pro Evo. And I put so much time into Pro Evo the last couple of years. Like, I just have near muscle memory sort of feel for that and how to do things. And FIFA doesn't move the same way and play the same way as Pro Evo, but there are enough similarities to where I've been able to really enjoy the experience, and now I'm getting better. So I'm currently somewhere around 4th or 5th in the Premier League. I just today came off the biggest win I've had in FIFA in a long time. I actually played at Etihad against Man City and won 2-0, which...
Wow.
I was going in there hoping for a draw because they're 1 point behind me in the Premier League. It's still early. I think we're like 12 or 13 games in. So, you know, like I said, about a third, 40% in. But I had a draw with Watford the match before. Now, granted, I had played a lot of substitutes in that because we're in that time of year where I'm playing like 3 matches in 10 days. So some of my guys were down. But I had just tied Watford the match before and then went into Man City. And I'm telling you, Kat, winning 2-0, like I don't know that I've ever beaten Man City 2-0 in that building. If I have, I'm pretty sure I would remember that because, you know, I can win the Premier League in year one in Pro Evo because I played so much of it the last 3 years, but I'm not there in FIFA. And I don't think I'm going to win the league this year. I did make 2 signings. I signed Eric Dyer, which actually I didn't need to do. I just like him.
The Dyer Wolf.
Yeah. I mean, I already had two good guys in those spots, but I wanted him. And then I signed a center back whose name I can't remember, but who's like an 83 rated defenseman. So, you know, but they are pretty much the real Everton club, and the real Everton club is not good. But anyway, I know I'm just sort of rambling, but man, I'm really enjoying FIFA this year the way that I'm playing it.
Well, I'm glad, and it probably helps that Everton is like fun this year at the very least. They're sitting right behind mighty Bournemouth on the table in the Premier League. So,
yeah, where are they? Are they like 8th right now? Is that where they are?
They're like 7th. Okay. I was just checking. I think they have like 19, which is, you know, really good. Like they're sitting. No, okay, so they're 9th place.
9th, okay. Okay.
But they're like 1 point behind Bournemouth, Watford, and Man United.
Right.
And like 4 points behind Arsenal, who are sitting in 5th. Which I thought Arsenal was doing a lot better, but I guess they have drawn. Well,
recently did draw against Arsenal, which was for Everton a big win.
Oh, that's a huge win, yeah. On the subject of FIFA, I ended up bouncing off it fairly early. I hope our mutual friend Jeremy Stein, who is a former sports game developer and has since moved on to other endeavors, I hope he won't mind me quoting a text that he sent me about FIFA. Quote,
not at all. He's a good friend of the show, and we should have him on to talk more FIFA sometime soon.
The first thing he said was, oh no, and then Spurs.
Oh my.
Because Spurs had just beat West Ham, and so I was ranting at him. And then he says, BTW, I think this FIFA still has the potential to be the best FIFA. But currently, it's trash. It makes me sad and feels unfair and unglitched and unbalanced. But I think a lot of the problems are patchable.
But he's talking about like online Ultimate Team, right? Like that's what that's what he plays. And that's completely different than what I play, right? And that's kind of the beauty of FIFA.
People play.
Right. Oh, I know. That's why I say I'm the, you know, the old
like
guy
any
in the
game. I think any issue can be papered over. And this is not to, you know, say that your opinion is wrong or anything. Like I think many other people are also sincerely enjoying playing against the CPU and that kind of thing. But I think that the game's flaws really come to light in an online environment. And the reason I'm quoting Jeremy is, aside from the fact that he used to be a developer, Jeremy like plays absurd amounts of FIFA. Ridiculous amounts
He's
of FIFA.
He's on the record on the show talking about the incredible amounts of hours he has played it. And he's been on at least, I'm going to say, a half a dozen times over the years. You know, 299 episodes. He's on at least 6 of them, guaranteed.
Yeah. So looking back on FIFA, I think that they did a good job of implementing the Real Player Emotion engine. Like it definitely feels better and feels different and better from last year. It has more weight to it.
I score different ways. That's my favorite thing is I can score by bringing the ball through the middle, and I can score by getting it in from the wing on a cross. You know, and not that I do score that way all the time. I don't mean like I can just do it at will, but like, I don't have to just try to score the same way in this year's FIFA. And I'm really enjoying it. Like, I'm not scared to try to be like, you know what, let me pass it through the middle. And sometimes when I make the right through pass into the box and, you know, one of my guys gets by, I can score. in coming, you know, north to south instead of from side to side, and that's fun. I like that.
If I were visiting you and you said, well, let's break out FIFA, I'd be like, oh yeah, that sounds fun, right? But I think part of my problem is on the subject of career mode. Back in 2015, I played like six solid seasons worth of career mode.
That's a lot. I don't think I can do more than two. I think I got two, and then I think the most I did was last year. I did three with Pro Evolution. Right. That's a lot. Six is.
I won the quadruple with West Ham. I built a like super powerful squad. The problem with playing six seasons in a row is that EA doesn't really calibrate its single player with the expectation that somebody's going to play that many seasons in a row. So the seams really start to show pretty fast.
I agree.
Teams stop populating their roster as effectively. The transfer market gets screwed up. The youth academy is kind of a disaster. And just at a certain point, like, I lose a lot of the will to kind of keep going because it doesn't feel all that realistic to me. And this year's version doesn't do a lot to improve career mode from what I've been able to play. Like, they say they implemented Champions League, more of a Champions League, I guess, more Champions League implementation, like better graphics and that kind of thing, which... Okay, yeah, that's fine, but not enough to really get me back and really get me invested, because I've played so much, and that's just me. Like, there's nothing new. And then it doesn't help that, like, earlier this year I played a ridiculous amount of Football Manager. Like, I played six or seven seasons. No, I think I played like a decade's worth of seasons in that, and I just had a blast. It was so much fun. Building up my team, and I probably could have gone another season, but I kind of forced myself to stop because I was at a crossroads and a lot of my players were retiring. A lot of new players were coming up, but it was time to kind of move on and put the game down. And it made me realize that two things. One is that a game like FIFA just is never going to be as in-depth as a Football Manager, which kind of makes me like realize that what I wanted all along was something like that, like an actual management sim, where FIFA is not a management sim. And the other thing is, EA is just going in a direction that I don't care about. I don't particularly like. And that is, it is putting a huge amount of emphasis on multiplayer, co-op, online community, the hardcore community, esports. And just necessarily, they have X amount of resources to use. And the modes that I care about, specifically an extremely satisfying single player solo experience, is just being left by the wayside. Because one way or another, it's not profitable, or it's not going to get the same amount of engagement, and it's not going to hit all of the same metrics. And that's fine. Like, they are doing that, but it just feels like a little like I am being left behind.
The other game that I'm playing a lot of.
No reaction. Well, no, I mean. I just went on like this huge rant. You're like, the other game I'm playing. No,
I mean, like, I'm not going to tell you that you're wrong. I mean, you know, if you had said something that I like dramatically disagreed with, I would say, you know what, Kat, that's not true. But I don't.
But the thing is that this is how I feel about all of the sports sims, like one way or another. Like, I'm just kind of out on sports games this year, to one degree or another, and I hate being a killjoy about it. But I look at the sports landscape, and every one of them has something that is almost a deal breaker for me. Like, I look at MLB The Show, and this year, like, the hitting hasn't been super great, and in any case, it's always extremely conservative with the changes that it makes. It's always by degrees, and I just don't like playing online in that game. Madden, like, I wrote an entire article literally titled "What's Wrong with Madden 19," where Madden 19 went wrong. NBA 2K has some microtransactions.
Hold on.
Friggin' NHL, like, the last time I checked, the helmet still hasn't appeared on my character, so I don't even know what's going on with my ostensibly female ice hockey player who has this bizarro butch haircut because the helmet won't appear or the hat won't appear in World of Chell, which is like a small thing to bother me, but it really bothers me. It makes it so I can't play the mode. Because it makes the cosmetics not work. And half the reward in that mode is cosmetic. And FIFA, I already described to you, and PES is just kind of like running in place. So it's like, okay, well, none of the sports seem to be generating any positive momentum right now. I guess I'll go play Red Dead Redemption and wait for something to happen, like the next generation.
You know, and what I was saying before, right, is the other game I'm playing is NBA 2K, right? You talk about microtransactions. I'm playing two different modes right now. Neither of them have the slightest to do with transactions. There's the My GM and the regular GM. You know, I can't remember the names of them, right? Like, one is where you just, you know, you're running the team, you're playing the games and stuff like that. The other has the whole second story, not the My Dude story, which is also not the right name of it, but it's like the story of where you're the GM and it's very text driven and stuff. No microtransactions, incredible depth and incredible fun. So in NBA the last couple of years, I've purposely chosen teams that are fun because, again, I'm the old dude.
Which ones?
Well, last year was the Washington Wizards. So, you know,
are they fun?
Well, John Wall, Bradley Beal. Yeah, they're fun to play basketball with. Not as fun as some other teams, but I had fun. Plus, I'm also a fan of the Tony Kornheiser show, and they talk about the Wizards all the time on that show. So, like, I had a little just, I'm like, all right, let me actually play as these guys to see, you know, because, you know, they talk about, you know, max player Otto Porter, who's on the team, and the center who's since been traded. I think the Croatian center, you know, who constantly was, like, bickering and arguing with him and stuff. So last year I played as the Wizards and won championship. And this year I picked thanks to the recommendation from Dazar, Nino, who was on the show, I picked the Celtics. And I'm like 12 games into my season with the Celtics. And they're a really fun team to play basketball with because they have four great players.
The most talented team in the game is really fun to play with? Tell me more.
No, I mean, they're not the Warriors. They're not the Rockets.
The Celtics are really talented,
yes,
though. They're
I agree.
The deepest team in the league.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's my point. Like, I want to
have fun. Okay, maybe not deeper than the Warriors, but they're really dang deep.
But it's not a guaranteed championship, right? Like, I don't think I can beat the Warriors.
Not by a long shot.
I don't know if I
can
beat
them. Hell, they might not come out of the East.
Right, that's exactly what
I heard. Jimmy Butler is just going to take the 76ers all the way to the finals.
I don't think that's
what I'm told. I hear that Jimmy Butler is real clutch. He's a locker room guy. He's a leader.
Yeah, the Sixers.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler. I'm not salty at all. I'm not salty at all about Jimmy Butler and the fawning media coverage. Not that he's a total garbage fire of a human being. Okay.
So I took the Celtics, and they're a lot of fun to play basketball with. But the way that I play the game is to set it on 12-minute quarters because, you know, I want the numbers to be realistic numbers. And then I just sim all the way through midway through the third period, and I just pick the game up wherever that is. Sometimes the Celtics are ahead. Sometimes it's close. Sometimes they're behind. And it's wildly fun. And another thing that I did in addition to just choosing a team that's really fun to play as, I also turned on, and this is another recommendation from Dazar, turned on the play art so that after you come down the court, you can sort of see who's doing what and where. And that has dramatically improved my awareness of what's happening on the court and has helped me go from being terrible at first to not as terrible now. So, like, if I come into the game and I'm up by 10, like, I think the most recent game I played, I was up by 12 against the Thunder on the road. I came in, and by the time, you know, midway through the third, by the time I got to the end of the third, I was up by, like, 3. But, like, 3 minutes in, again, I hit a couple threes, and I wound up winning by 4. So if I had played that game just front to back, I probably would have lost by 4, but by coming in, even though I didn't have my best game, I was still able to win. Conversely, I've come into games where I was down by 10 or 12, and I wound up losing by, you know, 8 or 6. So I'm sort of personally in the plus column, even though I didn't get the win, because I ended with a lead closer to. So it's sort of a game within a game as well. And in addition to just getting sort of realistic numbers when you're looking at what your players are doing and stuff. but I'm just really, really having fun playing the game. Turning on the play art really lets you see what's going on, and it sort of gives you hints as what to do, but it's not like obnoxious in your face. You can still just sort of freelance if you want to, and I do that sometimes, obviously, with Kyrie Irving and all that whole cast of players on the team. But I'm real. It's so good. It just plays beautifully. Yeah. It plays beautifully.
Every time I play NBA 2K, and the reason I started playing NBA 2K is that from a presentational standpoint and a gameplay standpoint, it's just kind of really far beyond EA's sports sims in so many different respects. It's just on another level. It feels like a AAA game. Oh yeah,
world class.
It's a beautiful game. Like I was talking about my frustration at the lack of like really satisfying solo experiences. Well, NBA 2K has them. Say what you want about my career, but on a game to game basis, it's fun. I created a point guard and I ended up getting signed by the Phoenix Suns after completing the story mode. And initially we were really bad, but, you know, over time, and I have not bought any VC over time. I have eventually got to level 80, and now like my character is pretty good and is consistently putting up stats and is becoming a leader. And you see how your character is becoming good in so many different ways. Like the commentators talk about it. You see your character's like head appearing in the stands, like because people are waving signs and everything. You could unlock little, once you hit level 80, you can unlock little like high five motions with other players. Yep. Weirdly, it's made me a fan of the Suns because I've gotten to know their players. Like that's always a good sign.
Of course, that happens all the time. Stuff like
it's
that.
A really good sign in a sports game when you randomly get assigned to a team that you don't know very well, and you just end up kind of coming to like them because you get to know them so well, and it feels like you are part of that team. And I feel like I am part of that team with like Josh Jackson and all of them. So I like that. I feel like there's so much talk all the time about microtransactions, and admittedly microtransactions, it's an issue with NBA 2K. I've written about at some length, and I think that all of the sponsorships and the ads are tacky at best, but that doesn't change the facts that, but like the good parts of NBA 2K totally get lost in all of the discussion about microtransactions.
You know, it's amazing. You said you say, you know, the sponsors and the ads are obnoxious. They are whenever you're watching a real NBA game. So like if they weren't there, it almost would be inauthentic. But you know what else is really funny?
But it's not just the ads in the game. It's stuff like the Gatorade gym where you got to get the Gatorade boost.
That's
true.
Good point. I'm all I play is the regular, you know, I'm just playing the games in my season. You know what I mean?
So it goes like above and friggin' beyond with the Gatorade. Like I posted a picture of like my character was asked in a press conference, which by the way, you don't get press conferences in the other games. And in fact, you don't even have a real superstar mode in any of these other sports games either. I don't count the story modes. They're kind of campaigns. This is an actual superstar mode that I want to play.
Right.
But I was doing a press conference and somebody said, what was it? What's the most important thing to you, your teammates or your fans? And it said, and the answers were teammates, fans, Gatorade. I mean, yeah, that's NBA 2K19 in a nutshell.
You know, it's amazing. I was playing last night. And not on the treadmill either. Just like this is instead of playing any of the other games that I could, I'm playing a lot of NBA 2K these days. I'm just in that zone, and you know that zone, just where it's what I want to play. And I don't normally listen to commentary, but I was just sort of chilling, playing it. And there was the announcer said, and they change announcers. Like some games, it's and I don't know the names of all the people. Some games, it's like Doris. I don't know her last name.
Doris Burke.
Okay, right. I mean, I know who she is. I don't want to get it wrong. It sounds stupid. Other times it's a different, analysis guy.
Got like Bill Simmons on there.
Yeah, but I don't mean even the guest spots. I just mean like the in-game commentary. They change up game to game, like who the
But
you know,
I
the
like that
person.
They have the guest spots.
Yes.
Like, that they have Kevin Garnett showing up, you know?
Yes. And in one of those, it was a conversation between Doris and I don't know who the main dude is. Like, I want to say, you know, Vern Lundquist, but I know it's not. But he sort of has a Vern Lundquist type of voice. But anyway, it was just sort of like one of the teams was bringing the ball up the court. And he's like, what do you think about the patches that they wear now, you know, the sponsorship patches? You know, what's your opinion on it? And it wasn't Doris. It was actually, I think it was again, I don't know who the different people are. But anyway, he's like, you know what? I got to tell you, I'm an old school guy. I don't really like it that much. But, I understand why it's there. And I know we ain't ever going back. And then the main announcer says, yep, it's all about that money. They like the money. Like, I was shocked that in a licensed game, the announcers were saying that about the sponsorship patches, like being so out front. Like, this game is, it's like meta at this point with what they're doing, right? Because, like, I'm just shocked that stuff like that gets past the license, not even get past it. Like, I don't, it's just like that is so surprising of a comment. You would not hear that in Madden or NHL, right? I don't think you would.
Oh, no, it's so corporate. I think the difference, based on everything I've heard from just talking to this is just reading between the lines, talking to people on all of the different teams over the years, is that EA is extremely buttoned down, very corporate. And if you want to introduce a thing, and if you want to introduce a new mode, and if you want to introduce a new feature, you have to put together a 200 slide PowerPoint presentation and bring it to everybody. And they're all going to discuss it, and then they're going to water it down in committee. And then eventually something is going to appear in the game, but maybe not what you imagined. And in NBA 2K, it really kind of seems like somebody goes, you know, I got a really cool idea. And they go, oh, you should do it. And they're like, okay. And then they do. Like, and maybe that's the difference, you know? I mean, maybe that's the difference. It just, when you talk to the team at NBA 2K, they just... I know a lot of the Madden people, and I have a ton of respect for them. I have a ton of respect for the NHL people, but there's just a looser vibe.
Mm. Well, it's a different company, right? 2K
it is a different company.
The company of Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead Redemption. And
well, this is Visual Concepts, though. I mean,
right, but I mean, still under the larger corporate umbrella. But yes, you're right. Visual Concepts has its definite long proven identity and culture.
Have you played the GM story mode, the one with the expansion team and all that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What do you think of it? Do you like it?
I like it. I can't keep up with the words, but I do like it.
It's a bit much.
It's more than a bit. It's a lot much.
There's so much dialogue, and it's so silly.
Yes, yes.
So, like, we were talking about, like, oh, I have a good idea for a mode. Let's and then they say, let's do it. Like, this is, like, the definition of that, right? This is not a knock against it.
Right.
It feels like something that someone made on their own time because it's definitely a step down presentation-wise from, say, my career where all the money is. But you can tell it's sort of a labor of love.
You know what? You put that so well because you're exactly right. Like it's very different. I never even thought of it that way. But right, you know, like when you're sitting there having those – very long conversations, you're just sort of seeing either your character or the other characters sort of sitting there, you know, with their eyes like glazed.
Like these little marionettes kind of like, you can't see me, but I'm kind of like moving my hands around. And like they always gesticulate with their hands because they're not talking.
That's right. That's right.
But they have like the text guy, Tex wearing the 10-gallon hat, and you play him in the basketball court for some reason.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
It's this game. It's just so ridiculous. Can you imagine this? Could you imagine EA doing this? I cannot.
No, that's the thing. Like when I was playing basketball against Tex, I'm like, he's going to get seriously hurt. This should not be happening right now.
I don't want to hurt the old man. Oh my God, he's posting up on me. Crap.
That's it. I'm going for it. So
yeah,
funny.
No, I just, I do think that the franchise mode is a model for every other sports sim and frankly does not get enough love. And we all complain about how Madden and FIFA has neglected their franchise mode and then completely ignore how good a job NBA 2K has done with their franchise mode over the years. And I think that you just got to give credit where credit's due sometimes. And NHL is almost to that level as well.
Like, I want to know who the guys are that did the MyGM and say thank you, because it is, like you said, it's like a side project. Somebody really wanted this badly enough. Like, if they had not put that in, would it have sold?
I met the guy a couple years ago at the NBA 2K18 launch party.
Okay.
And he literally said, all right, here's a GM story mode, basically like going, you want your you want a GM mode? You want a story mode? Here you go, cat. Take it. Like, it almost felt like they made it just like so that I would say nice things about NBA 2K, which I know is not the case, but I thought that was pretty funny.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah, so I'm really just knee deep in those games, enjoying them regularly, and I'm going to, like, these are the two sports games I'm going to be playing through the holidays. I know it, because
those are the two best sports sims of the holiday.
They are. They absolutely are, and I am.
Did you end up enjoying NHL?
I still have not played NHL.
Oh, I think you'll like it this year.
I'm not saying I won't like it. I have it through EA Access. I got 10 hours sitting there waiting for me. I mean, when I say I haven't played it, I downloaded it and played a few games, like two or three.
The gameplay is a lot better this year.
But here's the problem. One of the reasons that I haven't played, well, the main reason I haven't played NHL is because of FIFA and NBA 2K, right? I travel all the time during the week. Like, I don't, you know, I got 90 minutes maximum three nights a week, right? So that's FIFA and NBA 2K time. Like, that's what I'm doing. And not three, sometimes four. Weekends are a little different. I get some more time in there. But regardless, like, I'm not able to spend 10, 12, 14 hours a week in these games. So I got to be very picky and choosy. That's reason number one. Reason number two is I have heard significant uproar in the community, and not just in the community. I mean,
yeah.
Our friend Matt Cato from Game Informer had a really in-depth interview with one of the producers from NHL. I think it was Ben Ross, who has been on the show before as well, multiple times, talking about the changes that they made. So, you know, this isn't just, you know, a typical internet outrage uproar based on nothing. This is actually something to the point where Matt was like, hey, let's have a conversation about it. So, unhappiness with the changes that have been made from the beginning. So that's been another thing, but that's not the real reason, but that's sort of been my
take on it. And
that's
fair.
That wasn't the first
time. I've heard similar things, and that's one of the reasons that I have been reluctant to give it like a kind of full-throated endorsement. When I initially played it for review, I was like, oh, okay, well, World of Shell is interesting, I guess. I mean, it's a good starting point. It could be a lot better, but at least the gameplay feels like a lot smoother with the addition of like real player motion and that kind of thing, and it feels faster, so cool. And then I kind of bounced off it, but as per usual with all of these sports sims, give it a month or two and pretty quickly the fans will kind of cotton to what is not going particularly well with the game. And when I wrote that what went wrong with Madden 19, which had its own issues with the real player motion implementation, I got to say, real player motion seems to be a thorn in EA's side this year. Somebody in the comments was like, yeah, do NHL 19 next. So I was like, oh.
What does that mean? I don't follow.
Well, they were saying, like, do what went wrong with NHL 19 next. Okay. As in saying, like, they thought that.
Got it. I gotcha. That's unfortunate. So with that then, right? Like, and we've touched on it already in discussions, but okay. So PlayStation 5, Xbox next is 2020 is what everybody seems to have the consensus on, whatever those is. And I think there's also a consensus that while that there will be a significant jump in tech, you know, it's not going to be some sort of stratospheric leap like we saw in the generation from like the PS2 to the PS3 or the original Xbox to the 360, and certainly not from, you know, PlayStation to PlayStation 2, all those generational leaps. It's getting harder and harder, especially because of backwards compatibility, and these things are more like always on platforms as opposed to specific consoles. So like, I'm making a lot of assumptions, but I, you know, if you disagree, let me know. But like, as we look at the next couple of years, and I have a feeling you're not going to be particularly have a positive outlook, but like, where do you see the next couple of years going? Is it going to be just like it is this year, or in a couple of years, is it going to have significantly evolved in how we play these games and what the focus of these games are going to be, in your opinion?
I don't think they'll evolve at all. I am extremely pessimistic about the direction of these games, at least until the next generation. I think that all of them are pretty much set in their final form as to what they're going to look for like. And we will see marginal improvements, but otherwise it will be, I don't know, there will be updates, I guess, but as for the core of how they play, like, they will not be significantly different. But more importantly, I don't think the focus is going to change. Like, EA has made it real clear what their focus is. And as I already said, it's focusing on the hardcore community, tuning the gameplay as much as possible, trying to make it esports friendly, trying to find ways to make co-op a thing, especially with Madden. Like, those are the focuses. And like I said, by and large, those are focuses that don't have a tremendous amount of interest for me, because like, one of the reasons I bounced off FIFA this year was I am burned out on FIFA Ultimate Team, and I just don't have time to really sit down and grind. And Ultimate Team, it's funny, like, I talked to the Madden people and they're like, you know, actually, like, Madden Ultimate Team has to fight and scrap for like every last resource that it gets. And actually, like, so, and we work really hard, and you guys act like we get everything when we don't. And I'm like, okay, that's fine and everything. But there's no denying that Ultimate Team is also the moneymaker for all of these games. And so it's just necessarily going to year in and year out get like love, like certainly compared to career mode. I don't care that it's not the one being marketed. Like, they're going to market the changes to career mode and not the changes to Ultimate Team. But on a year-to-year basis, Ultimate Team seems to have the biggest improvements. I mean, just look at FIFA. Like, franchise mode was barely touched. And FIFA Ultimate Team had a complete revamp of the way that, like, ranking and stuff, like, worked and weekend league worked. And then more broadly, like, they're still pushing Madden Esports and FIFA Esports. And, like, I know I'm focusing a lot on Madden and FIFA, but that's like those, the two of the games that kind of matter the most to me personally. And I think the esports community, like the Madden esports community, is extremely dedicated, and the people who are involved have worked really hard to make esports work for these two things. But like, if they're hoping that it's going to be this mass scale thing, like if they're going to, that they're going to fill stadiums for FIFA and Madden, like, they're dreaming. And yeah, I just cannot see it ever breaking out of the kind of hardcore niche that they've built for themselves. So I don't know. Like, I just, the direction of Madden and FIFA just feels a little off-putting to me. And as for NBA 2K, for all of the complaining of the fans, Visual Concepts has shown, like, it's like, well, yeah, all the fans complain online, but ultimately we still make boatloads of money and sales are higher than ever. So it doesn't really matter. And we're just going to keep doubling down on microtransactions and doubling down on microtransactions. And that's also a bummer, because it kind of like really does hurt the progression of my career. And it's kind of unacceptable in this day and age. And I'm feeling pessimistic until the next generation comes around.
Well, what about the next generation? What is it about the next generation, whatever and whenever that is, that you think?
Well, new power, like more power, and a fresh start usually gets developers kind of like breaking out of their shell and trying something new. And more than that, I think next generation is when we're going to really actually see a difference in how sports games are distributed. I think that sometime in the not too distant future, we will finally see perhaps the end of the annual sports sim release. Like, it will change in some fundamental way. I don't know how, but it just doesn't seem like we can keep going this direction much longer.
I don't know. I think the seasonal nature of sports lends itself to that really well. I understand what you're saying. I mean, heck, on many of the 299 of these shows, I've said EA is going to have a service where you just subscribe and you're playing whatever Madden is at that time and whatever NHL is at that time. You're not going to have the number. But that was 5-6 years ago, and multiple people have told me that I was crazy. And here we are 5-6 years later, and yes, there are services that are available, right? EA runs Origin and Origin Access, where you can play a bunch of the games, and EA Access, you know, you don't get the games completely, but you get a lot of them, and then you get to play them a lot, and then you get to get them at a discount. And I still don't feel like you're gonna have the
maybe.
I think you're not, still going to have...
Unlike the very nature of licensing might just preclude that. Regardless of how it turns out, generational changes usually result in a little bit of a shakeup.
Yes.
I mean...
Very true.
Like Madden definitely went up. Like Madden definitely got a lot better with the seasonal transition. And some people will disagree with me, but from Madden 15 on until... maybe last year, it went on a tidy little run in which it was a lot better than it ever was last generation. At least, I mean, people have, you know, fond memories of, I guess, Madden's 07 and Madden 08, which, okay, like it had a better franchise mode maybe, but from a sheer gameplay standpoint, I don't think it's a contest. But then other sports sims go down. CNHL, which just never really recovered from the generational transition. So at the very least, it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Oh, it'll definitely be interesting. I'm much more bullish in that. I think that there's that, you know, as sports games continue to be really important in the economy of video games, NBA 2K, FIFA, Madden are always in the top 10, right? Madden used to be number one or number two. That was five. No, that was more than five. That was 10, 15 years ago. I always follow Matt Piscatella, and he was putting up some numbers, you know, recently. He showed like the top three games, you know, over the last 20 years. And for a bunch of years in a row, Madden was it, right? Madden's not as big, but it's still top 10, right? So you got your Madden, you got your FIFA, you got your NBA 2K. You know, so 30 to 40% of the top 10 annual sellers are sports games. And so as long as that remains the case, I feel really good about the ability for iteration and innovation. You know, I like what Madden did with Longshot a lot. I know it was different and goofy. I also know that Adrian Tazaniga is my buddy. And Mike Young, I have come to know, you know, through this show. You know, those two were the main drivers of it. I really liked it. I loved the NBA 2K, like the first season this year, you know, with when you're on the Mad Ants and that whole thing. Loved it. It was goofy and crazy and silly, and I thought it was fantastic.
And a lot better than in previous years.
Much better. Like production values, legitimate production
values. It actually was shot like kind of like a movie, yes, as opposed to previous years when, yes, it was just like in rooms and it was that stupid agent gesticulating wildly.
So much better. So much better. Like when the thing that I will, that when it happened, I really just was that wow moment was when the end of the rotation guy sort of was giving him a description of life in the minor leagues. And then you're on the bus and then you're in the locker room and then you're at the hotel. And then, you know, like it's just instantly changing, like very movie, like just a really cool segment. And that, I was like, wow, I loved it. You know, I like, at least on paper and in concept, what NHL has done with threes and with the Chell stuff. Like That is different, right? That is.
It's interesting, yeah.
There are things happening, and as long as
I think these, the execution leaves a little bit to be desired.
But you learn and you get better next time, right? Like that could definitely happen. And so I'm very bullish on where sport games are. Like I like the fact that you know we're, next year we're going to get the top most mature version of the current gen console we get as we move into the following year with the next gen. Like I'm not sitting here chomping at the bit personally waiting for a next gen leap, right? But that's just because like there's a lot of that, like playing Spider-Man, playing Assassin's Creed, playing Far Cry, you know, those are the production values are just so over the top anyway. Like, I don't know how much better this stuff can get. I know the answer is a lot.
I mean,
I just can't see
it. I gotta say that just EA's production values actually aren't good. Like FIFA and Madden and NHL's production values are so far below.
FIFA's good.
NHL has terrible commentary still. And EA or say NHL, Madden and FIFA are so far behind NBA. It's not even funny. Like, it's not close. Like, what NBA 2K does from a production standpoint with its, like, multiple openings, the way that it has you interacting with the players.
It's ridiculous. It's
the way that it makes
surprising.
You feel part of the league.
Yes.
It's on another level. I'm sorry. Totally. And EA's versions, like, you just feel like they don't have any time or money or something. And I'm just, like, going, what is going on with Visual Concepts where it's that much better?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And it's not a talent difference, because I know that the people at EA are very talented and work extremely hard, but all I can see is that EA as a company, I'm sorry, is been a little troubled to say the least, and I don't have a lot of faith in EA right now. I feel like when I look at EA, I see extremely corporate, kind of rudderless company that has had a series of actually high profile disasters over the past couple of years. And I don't think their sports games, like, I don't think the kind of entropy has, like, I don't think their sports sims have been really that immune. Like, I think their concern with maximizing revenues has made them like really short-term thinkers, and as a consequence they're operating on a year-to-year basis, like assertions like that they are operating on a three-year plan to the contrary, like it just like they I feel a certain short-sightedness with EA that makes it like, as a result, I always feel kind of let down. Like when I'm playing Madden or FIFA, I'm like, would it kill you to be interesting? Would it kill this game to have any zest or spice whatsoever? They're so bland.
I can't argue. I can, but it would be.
And I don't want to disrespect the people who work so hard.
I mean, I
know they work their butts off to get these games out the door, but
it's different tools, right? Like different tools, different technology.
Being held back.
Could be that.
I really do. I think they really want to put out something amazing, and they are just held back.
Mm. Interesting. Well, Kat Bailey, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it. You are, as I mentioned at the top, the editor-in-chief of US Gamer. How do people follow you? Obviously, you go to usgamer.com, but like, what's happening over there? What can you talk about?
Net.
Oh, sorry. See? This is why I shouldn't even say anything like that. So, yes, tell us, Kat, how can people follow you and US Gamer?
Go to usgamer.net. Follow us on all of the Twitter and social media channels, US GamerNet. I'm on Twitter at @_catbot, where on Sunday you can find me ranting about the Vikings and whatever the heck they're doing. Kirk Cousins getting sack fumbled, something like that.
Yeah, I won't go back into my Eagles commentary issues. I'll keep that.
Hey, we beat you. I can say that much.
Kicked our butts in Philly. I mean, come on. That wasn't even close.
Well, the game was pretty close at the end.
At the end, but you owned the game the whole time. You were in control the whole time.
And you know, I don't want to come off as too negative about Sports Sims, but I sure did come off as negative about Sports Sims.
Happens, right? Where we all, I guess, we all have different attitudes at different times.
I think it's that I like Sports Sims so much that I want them to be freaking amazing.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Cat Bailey, thank you so much. We will talk to you again soon. Hopefully, you'll be able we'll be able to make it work, and you can be on our annual Sports Video Game of the Year Award Show. That's
sure thing.
The plan. So good stuff. We will talk to you again then, real soon.
All right, thank you.